You're listening to episode 28. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. This is the podcast all about pouring the labor, care, and study into the roles that God has given us as wives, moms, women, and His children. It is meant to inspire us to be living with passion, intention, beauty, and delight in the everyday moments right where we're at. I'm your hostess, Mackenzie Monroe from BoldTurquoise.com and CultivatingTheLovely.com, along with the Cultivating the Lovely show on Periscope. Today, you guys, I have brought back a much-loved guest who is actually on the very first episode of the podcast, Misty Winkler. And of course, she's here to talk about none other than Myers-Briggs. Misty is my Myers-Briggs guru, and she's recently come out with a great new guide that's especially for moms and how to use Myers-Briggs with our families. It's unlike any other Myers-Briggs guides that I've seen out there, and I can't wait for you to hear more about it straight from Misty. Now, this episode, I've got to admit, it's a little heady. At times I felt like I was in a college class when I was sitting talking with Misty, but it was so good and so interesting. And so if you hang in there, I think that you will really get a lot out of this episode. But before we jump in, I do want to mention this episode's sponsor. We have a brand new sponsor this week, and that's Jelly Telly. Now, if you haven't heard of what Jelly Telly is, it's the only streaming video app designed specifically for kids, where they get to hear that God is real and His word is true. I'm sure you guys have heard of VeggieTales and Phil Vischer. I mean, he is Bob the Tomato. A lot of us grew up with VeggieTales, and this is the streaming service, basically for VeggieTales. It also has great shows like Owlgories, Friends and Heroes, What's in the Bible, which is a big favorite in our house, Theo, Whirl, Hillsong Kids, the Jesus Storybook Bible, and many more. Jelly Telly allows you to instantly stream over 300 hours of safe, family-friendly videos and movies for kids about God, the Bible, and faith. I know it's really hard to find good entertainment for our kids, and Jelly Telly is a great answer to that problem. It's the perfect way for parents and kids to spend time together, even watching, learning, and talking about Jesus. It's available on the App Store, Google Play, Roku Channel Store, and supported Kindle devices. That's how my kids usually watch it. It's entertainment you can trust and shows your kids will genuinely love. And because Jelly Telly is so awesome, they have given a coupon code just especially for Cultivating the Lovely listeners. So if you go to jellytelly.com and use the code CULTIVATELOVELY, all capital letters, you can get a 10-page Jesus coloring book download and your first week of Jelly Telly for absolutely free. You really can't go wrong, and I think you're really going to love this service as much as we do. So go check Jelly Telly out and thank them for all of their support of Cultivating the Lovely. All right, let's get on with the show, ladies. Here I am with Misty. Welcome back, Misty.
Thanks for having me.
I am so looking forward to having you back on the show because you were on my very, very first episode that I ever put out. Yep, you're the number one guest, and people just ate up your episode. I still have people telling me how much they love that very first episode on organization. So it's really fun to have you back almost 2 years later.
I can't believe it's been that long.
I know. It's towards the end of my second season. It just seems crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, it said on the little ticker when I was going to call you on Skype, like, last talked October 2015. Like, what?
Wow.
We've talked since then, but not in this capacity. So that's just crazy. So I'm really excited to have you back on this time, though, because we're talking about something that you are basically my guru for. And I know that a lot of my audience is always asking questions about and always excited to hear more about, and that is Myers-Briggs. But before we jump too much into that, I do want you to remind people who you are, where you're from, where you can be found online, you know, and all that good stuff.
Well, I'm Misty Winkler, and I homeschool my 5 kids. They're 13, 11, 9, 7, and 4.
Wow.
I think I got that right.
Yeah.
And both my husband and I were actually homeschooled ourselves, so we're second generation homeschoolers. And I blog about homeschooling at simplyconvivial.com and about kind of life management at simplifiedorganization.com.
Yes. And she has some great courses all about organizing and stuff on brain dumps, and Misty's just a wealth of resources. So make sure you check out her websites, because you'll live on them for like 2 weeks while you just learn all kinds of
things. There's a lot to binge on.
Yes, there really is. But today we get to binge on Myers-Briggs.
That's my favorite thing.
Yes, because so Misty was the one that made me, you know, jump into the ocean of Myers-Briggs. And I really hadn't heard that much about it, but she was the one like, you need to figure out your type. And she was trying to type me when we first met. That's Misty's default. And she's like, I think you are.
I'm secretly trying to type everyone.
Yes. I kind of figured that at this point. But it was so much fun to see, like, if she was right. And so that's when I really dove in and started finding more about my Myers-Briggs, which if you guys have listened to my podcast or watched me on Periscope at all, then you know I'm always saying things about how, oh, this is a very typical ENFP thing for me to do. But I wouldn't even know that I was an ENFP if it wasn't for Misty. So just to get us started, Misty, tell us what Myers-Briggs is.
Okay, so Myers-Briggs is that personality typing system that gives you four letters. So like you're ENFP, I am an INTJ. So there are the four letter slots, and each slot has two options. So the first one's the easiest to kind of wrap your head around, because it's more common to talk about being an introvert versus an extrovert, and that's that first slot. So E is extrovert and I is introvert.
Okay.
But the two middle slots are really the two important letters, the most important letters, because
I'm learning things already.
Well, this is something, I've learned really in the last year or less than a year. I was into Myers-Briggs, but finally jumped into the cognitive functions level of Myers-Briggs, which is like Myers-Briggs, you know, the 400 level from the 100 level. Whoa. And decided I was really going to figure out what that meant. So really, those two middle letters are the more important letters, because those are the ones that are really talking about kind of how your brain is wired.
Huh.
Like if you think about, you know, being right-brained or left-brained, those are tied up in Myers-Briggs.
Yeah. Okay.
It's really trying to describe how your brain prefers to take in information and what to do with it.
Interesting. I feel like I'm
so that's why you can see the pattern. So that's why you see the patterns between the different personality types, and that's really what it's trying to get at describing. Now, you know, it was created before, you know, there was really neuroscience. Mm-hmm. So it's psychology. It comes from a long tradition of just observing people and seeing similarities. But as neuroscience has kind of started learning things, they actually can see different people's brain firing differently, and it matches up.
How interesting. That's cool that the science ended up backing up the observations that they'd been taking for so long.
And I mean, there are still a lot of scientists that say this is all bunk.
Yeah. But
the Myers-Briggs people say, look, this reinforces what we have always said.
Yeah. And once you actually find your type, and then you feel like, hey, who's been spying on me? Like, what's going on that they knew all those things about how I handle situations and how I think about things? Like, that was where it got real for me, when I realized it's so clear to me that that is my personality type.
Mm-hmm. And then so it's that second letter, which can be S or M for sensing or intuition, which is how you prefer to take in information.
Okay.
It's called the perceiving function. So, you know, there is so much information always around us or coming at us, both in the external world, like physical, concrete, real things, and also in our own heads, that you have to have some kind of filter.
Yeah.
So it's kind of describing the filter that you prefer to use.
Interesting. Okay.
So the intuition prefers what's going on in your own head to what's actually happening outside of you, like in real life.
Yeah.
And sensing prefers concrete details, like what's actually real right in front of them.
And see, I bet even just at this point, there's moms listening who are like, oh, that is my this child, and that is my this child. Because my husband and I have even had this conversation where he will say, because I think he is an S, and I am definitely an N, and he will look at our two sons and be like, I just don't understand our son that's an N. He's like, it's like he's not even living in the real world because he doesn't notice anything. He's just constantly inside of his head, where our other son has been so observant from the time he was like super, super little. He's always asking about things that are going on around him, where our other son's like, what? Huh? So it's just so interesting. I relate to our N son and my husband relates to our S son.
Well, that's nice. They both have a parent.
Exactly. Yes.
My husband's also an S. And we realized we just have a really hard time going out to eat at a restaurant. We just really don't do it anymore.
Oh, interesting.
Because if we're just sitting at a table, and you know, the restaurants are always so loud and busy. Yeah. And both of us are introverts. So that kind of is
funny.
Difficult.
Yeah.
So if we're just sitting there, I'm off in my head somewhere.
Yeah.
And he has observed every detail about everyone around us, what's on the TVs, what's going on. And so he'll make some little, you know, joke, you know, side comment or observation or something. And I'll be like, what? Who? I'm sorry, what? You know, I have no idea.
That's so funny. And because I'm an extrovert, I'm in my head, but I'm thinking, what could I come up with conversation for next? Like, I need to come up with something to talk about. Let me think of a story. to talk to my husband about. So that's so funny. Okay, so the next letter.
Yeah, the third letter then is how you make decisions or what you do with that information that you've taken in.
Okay.
So the two options are T or F, which is thinking or feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so thinking means that you prefer to make an impersonal kind of reasoned decision.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling means you actually think that people matter when you make a decision, which is kind of crazy. And
so
really,
funny. So
I'm a T.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why I really started getting into Myers-Briggs a number of years ago now was because I realized that most of my children were Fs and not Ts.
Yeah.
And I needed to like find categories and definitions that didn't make that a pejorative in my mind, because mm-hmm. that was my default, like just feeling. So that means that logic doesn't matter. And a lot of times the tests, I think, are written by T types.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And so I think a lot of Fs end up mistyping themselves because of the way the T describes an F.
Okay, yeah.
You know, those things like truth doesn't matter.
Like, yeah.
What person is going to say, yeah, I don't care about truth?
Yeah.
But that's the way a T sees it.
That's funny. Yeah, they just, they look down on us Fs. That's so funny.
So the world would be a very miserable place if it were not for Fs.
Yes, right? We bring the love. Although I can be a little T-ish as well. Okay. And it's so funny as how many times have I looked at your website and gone over all of this stuff before? But my husband is one of those like, whatever, that's so ridiculous. I'm like, you just say that because you don't know what you are. But I've always been trying to like, I wonder what he is. And now I'm sitting here like, oh, I bet he's this. I bet he's that. Like, I knew certain things. Like, he was definitely an S, like my son. But now I'm typing him further thanks to this conversation. Like, I don't even need you to take a test, honey. I just know what you are now.
Well, that's what I told my husband, too.
Yeah.
I said, no, there's a personality type that thinks it's all bunk.
Yeah. Okay, so the final letter.
The last letter is going to be either a J or a P. And this one's the tricky one, because what it means is which of your middle letters is what you're using to deal with the outside world.
Okay.
So whether it's your N or S, which is your P, your perceiving function, if that's what you use to extrovert, to deal with the outside world.
Okay.
then you're a P. If you use your T or your F to extrovert, to deal with the outside world, then you're a J, a judger.
Okay.
So when things are coming at you, you're kind of dealing with a lot of people, or, you know, you're in a public setting. Do you prefer to just be the idea person, the kind of take it all in person, or the person that comes in and makes decisions and makes things happen?
Okay. Interesting.
And that is. So that starts to get into where it's really about the cognitive functions.
Yeah.
Which is the next level. Because, and so, you know, even when you look at them, like you just said, you know, you have a little T.
Yeah.
These are all spectrums. It's
yes.
not like on switches where
yeah.
I'm this and none of that. And we all need and do use all four of those middle options. So we are all N and S and all F and T. It's just how we use those functions and which ones we prefer over the others. And really, the ones that you prefer are the ones that you use more, which also means they're stronger, more reliable, you know,
sure.
better at what they're doing.
Yeah. And I think that that's a lot of times where people get lost when they're trying to type themselves, because they feel more middle ground. Like,
yeah.
well, this and that. Like, what can I be two types? And, you know, and so I think that can be where it gets really confusing for people to really nail down what they are.
Mm-hmm. So with the cognitive functions, it's kind of saying how you use all four of those preferences.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you use that preference for dealing with your inner world, kind of your thoughts, how you're reacting to things, kind of you, just with you, and so that's introverted. When you're mm-hmm. focusing inside, which do you prefer to use? And then when you're dealing with other people, or, you know, your public face, or trying to make something happen, that's your extrovert function. And so each type has the perceiving mm-hmm. options, our intuition or sensing. One of those is going to be introverted, and one of those is going to be extroverted.
Interesting.
And then one of those will be your preferred.
So interesting.
So I am an INTJ. So I am an introverted intuition, and that's my very top preferred function. So I prefer to live in ideas in my head.
Interesting.
Like being uninterrupted and just time to think. And it could just be all self-contained in my head. Whereas someone like you, you're mm-hmm. an N also, but your N is extroverted. So even though we're both N's, it's a different way of using that N.
So I like to verbalize all my ideas to everyone.
Well, it's not even that. It's actually that you are seeing connections happening. You're connecting it up in your mind. You're looking
okay.
for connections, but there are a lot of outer sources. Like
okay.
you're taking in, you know, that's perceiving everything going on around you. An S doing that is seeing the concrete details.
Mm-hmm.
An N looking around and making all those connections is really connecting, like, the meaning behind what's happening.
So
or
this is why my husband gets frustrated watching movies with me, because I always am like, well, this person's going to do this. And he's like, mm-hmm. what? No. And then they do it. And he's like, how did you know that?
Yes.
It's so frustrating.
Yes. That is extroverted intuition. Yes.
So all of you just sit back and relax while I get my personal consultation with Missy about my life. Oh, this is so much fun.
And then your middle letter, or I guess the third letter, the judging function, your decision-making function, the T or the F, you also have both of those, and one of them is introverted and one of them is extroverted. So we have to make internal decisions and choices and filters, and then we also have to kind of project and make decisions out in the world, like, if you go into a group and you have to make a decision in a group sort of setting, or even things like house routine, home routines and that kind of thing, that's an extroverted decision, because it's a decision dealing with stuff or people outside of yourself.
Hmm.
So for my type, INTJ, extroverted thinking.
Okay.
So that's why I'm mean and bossy. Because It's my external, like how I deal with things outside of me in the real world is by making a judgment call that's impersonal and like get things done. We're going to do this, likes to finish things, see things through without back chat. Just do it.
Yeah.
That's external, or that's extroverted thinking. But then even thinkers have feelings.
Yes.
It's just that mine are introverted. And so that's like my internal filter.
Interesting.
Where, you know, the filter and what's going to percolate to the top or how I'm making decisions about what to focus on is inside. And that's all happening kind of invisibly.
Interesting. So is this the part where I'm really good at planning but really bad at doing it? Is that what... Is this the letter that explains that problem I have?
So you actually also have the same as I do.
Okay.
In that regard, where it's your internal feelings that you're making decisions with.
Yes.
And then trying to get things done. So you also have extroverted thinking. The difference is in the preference, you know, where they are in the stack, because the higher up in your preferences they are, kind of the better you are at doing them.
All right.
And often the lower they are, that means that we use them, but we don't use them as much. And that means we're not as good at them. And sometimes that means that that's where we go when we're tired of coping.
Okay.
Or we're just exhausted, or we just want to turn off. We'll go to our less preferred functions, which isn't always pretty.
Yes. This is very true.
So my extroverted thinking is in my second slot. So That's my go-to way to extrovert. That's just my, if I'm going to do something well outside of myself, outside of my own head, that is what I will use.
Mm-hmm.
And yours is the introverted feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you will go to make sure that you're making the right decision. Kind of that internal feeling is authenticity, wanting conviction, you know, really wanting to be sure.
Yes, that's for sure.
And then that third slot is, you know, in your, it's called the cognitive function stack. Your third preference is flipped. So your third preference is that extroverted thinking, where it's my second. And my third is that introverted feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when we're just tired, you know, we're not functioning at our best.
Yeah.
We're skipping our second and going to that third without the second.
That's where
I would not get anything done, kind of be apathetic about what's happening and just kind of wallow.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means I'm using two introverted functions instead of an introverted paired with an extroverted, which is healthy and effective for anyone, you know, no matter.
Yeah.
If you're using two of the same, then for an introvert, you're using an introverted perception and an introverted decision making. You're just kind of an internal depressed mess.
Yes.
Without doing any, like just blah.
Yeah. That's
and
so
then on the extroverted side, if you're using two extroverted, like extroverted intuition and an extroverted thinking, you're kind of seeing all the possibilities and wanting to do them all and kind of just ramping up without being able to filter and figure out which is more important. And it's where you like try to do all the things.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I am never plagued with that. Yes, it does. It's so true. And you get so excited and you want to do it all, but then it's like there's no reasonableness included
in that. It's like escalation.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's almost manic. That's so interesting. Wow. See, it's when you say stuff like that where it's like, ding, ding, ding. Okay. Hit the nail
on
the head.
Well, and see, so when you know these things and you can kind of see, oh, it's recognizing this is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have strategies for dealing with it because you can say, okay, if I'm ramping up and just can't, I feel like I have no filter or I can't decide what I should be doing. I just want to do all the things,
mm-hmm.
see all the, make all the friends.
Yes.
then you could say, okay, this is my two extroverted functions just piling it on.
Yeah.
I need to take a step back and figure out how to engage my introverted feeling, mm-hmm. because that's going to help me figure out what I should be doing, prioritize, and calm down.
Yeah. And I think kind of starts going into something I wanted to talk about. Like, why is this information even important for us to know? And mm-hmm. I think that even just over the span of the last couple of years of doing Cultivating the Lovely, and really it was kind of at the beginning of that time that we were getting to know each other and I was finding out about my Myers-Briggs personality. And there was a lot of exciting things to be able to do. And I'm usually pretty quick to jump on those things. And without kind of an infrastructure around me to help me see those things through, they would fizzle. And so mm-hmm. it's been really helpful for me to be able to recognize that part of myself and see when I'm doing that. And even if I'm doing that, because I come up with some really great ideas. I mean, let me mm-hmm. just say.
That is the top ENFP strength.
Yes. But now I have like people in place around me to be able to say like, okay, either that's a good idea or that's not a good idea. And I've learned to kind of put those things through them first for the most part. And also because they have a different personality type than I do, they can sit down and say, okay, but how are we going to make this function in the real world? Like, how right. are you going to be able to have follow through? And I think that's the important thing to me is being able to see not just like strengths of my personality, but the weaknesses and how I can make up for those or what I can do to try to strengthen those or bolster myself when I get into those kinds of modes.
Yes. Yeah. And I also think a lot of times, particularly us women, tend to compare ourselves and what we're doing with other women. Mm-hmm. And I find that going to the personality things really helps shift from that unhealthy kind of comparison, like, oh, she does everything right and I do everything wrong. I need to be like her,
yeah.
you know, to saying, okay, these are my strengths and those are her strengths. And I'm actually never going to have those strengths,
yeah.
which is why the world needs her.
Yes.
And the world needs me. And because it's only when all of these are together, like all of these functions are important.
Yes.
And this is where it comes at, you know, that no person is like a whole complete unit that can
yeah.
be by itself. You
yeah.
know, we all need each other. And to me, this helps explain how we need each other and why we need each other and that we complement and complete each other when we're a big group.
Yeah.
In fact, the book by Isabel Briggs, who kind of really started developing this, it's Myers-Briggs. She's the Briggs.
Yes.
Her book is called Gifts Differing.
Yeah.
Pulled from the First Corinthians passage that says, you know, and we all with gifts differing, you know, complete the body. We mm-hmm. all need each other.
Yeah. Which is so, it's so key. And I think even because if you're wondering still like, well, why do I really need this? Like, because a lot of times I think this is used in like businesses and I've even seen it used in some churches of like the staff at the churches to make sure they work well together and figuring out all their Myers-Briggs personality stuff. Well,
yeah.
that's all well and fine. And that's what a lot of the personality tests are geared towards is people
yes.
kind of in those.
Yeah. Or career choice, like figuring out what you
yeah.
should be.
Yeah. And so it's geared towards those things. But then as moms, you're kind of going, well, how is that applicable to me when I'm
right.
just with my little family? But you still have all those personality types within your family. And I think a lot of times if you can identify those things, be like, oh, this is just who they are. This is what their strengths are. And they may need more help in this other area that it frees you up, like kind of you were saying at the beginning, to even from a lot of guilt in how you
yeah.
deal with certain people in your family, I think.
Yeah. Well, and to see just why what you're doing isn't working,
yes.
which is what really was the trigger for me to start diving into this, because it was a number of years ago, my son and I, every homeschool morning, just got into this escalated ugliness. I was like,
yeah.
what is happening? And so just on a whim, I said, maybe this is a personality conflict or something is weird going on. And so I was reading the book I got in high school, I think, about personality. And there was a little section on my type. that exactly explained what was happening every morning at my house.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, because it was saying, you know, you would think that these two personality types would get along, and usually they do, but sometimes this happens. And it's like, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
That must be my son's personality.
How interesting.
Because we're the same letters, mm-hmm. except I'm the T and he's the F.
Okay. Yeah.
And so to me, nothing is a conflict. Like, we're just dealing with it.
Yeah.
We're gonna get to the solution. We're gonna get things done. Like, when I wanna start a Monday, like, I actually love Mondays, because it's like, yeah, let's start this week and let's do it well and let's get going. And to me, that's like business mode that I love.
Yeah.
And he sees that as conflict.
Yeah.
Which doesn't ever cross my mind.
Yes.
I thought we were like going for it. Like, this is my version of getting everyone on board.
Yeah.
And to him, he perceived it as starting a fight.
That's so interesting.
And so that just didn't work. And
yeah,
neither of us knew why it wasn't working.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think with my sons, it's been helpful in even figuring out how they learn. Because my one mm-hmm. son, who's totally in his head, and he's a feeler, and he really wants to learn through story and putting things together that mm-hmm. way. And thinking about it, where my other son could talk about details of things
mm-hmm.
all day long because he's so observant. And so he wants to do all the projects with all the little, you learn, you know, the different dates that things happened and the why all of these tools were used in a colonial barn. And, you know, my other son's like, tell me a story about the people who lived in the colonial barn.
Right.
It's just they come at learning from two totally different perspectives. And if I was trying to teach them both the exact same way, one of them would be completely lacking in what they were getting out of it.
Mm-hmm. Or even just expecting the same thing mm-hmm. out of them.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
That's where I think that there's a Charlotte Mason quote where she says something like, you know, you read the book, or, you know, you give... you're opening up the world of knowledge, you know, spreading the feast, mm-hmm. and everyone takes from it what they will.
Yes.
Like, they're all, you lay it out there, and one child's going to be more interested in those details and facts, and that's what he's going to want more of.
Yeah.
And the other, is going to be more about the big idea behind it all, or what it all looked like or felt like.
Yeah.
And that both of those are valid ways of learning the same lesson. Same, you know, they're both learning history, even if they wouldn't, you know, test the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when you can find those things that are actually the ones that resonate with them, it settles with them so much more. Like, if you allow mm-hmm. them to, like, okay, that's the part of this same section of history that you are taking in, they'll likely remember more of the scope of what it is they learned if they can kind of root it on what they're good at.
Like, yes.
My son, when he's learning history, if he's learning the big picture story, he remembers that more than if I'd tried to get him to remember the facts.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because learning is all knowledge is self-learning. You know, mm-hmm. it's an act that we each do ourselves. You know, a teacher doesn't just pour information into heads. It's an act of our own minds.
Yeah.
And so our minds have to act on information to really make it our own and make it learning.
Yeah.
And that is what Myers-Briggs is kind of describing, is how do you take in information and then what do you do with it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it really helps us understand the dynamic of what's going on in our homeschool day. It helps us understand the dynamic of maybe a dynamic that's happening in our marriage, or even internal conflict, all those kind of things. Once you have a vocabulary for what's happening, it really helps you sort it out.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, even if science totally debunked the whole brain, neuroscience, whatever, it's like it almost wouldn't really matter.
Yeah.
Because it's really having a vocabulary for what's happening.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And if it's accurately describing what's happening, then it's a useful tool for diagnosing what's going on and then giving you some ideas for strategies.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And it's, there's only so much when it's like, okay, science, whatever. That's great that it's proving it, but it's personality, and that's who we are as people and how we relate to each other, and that's the most important part of it. I mean, I have a friend who's just so good at this in her homeschool that everything for her comes down to relationship with her kids. Mm-hmm. And I think if we all could be more like that in how we teach them, how we parent them, you know, if it all boils back down to relationship, it helps everything go more smoothly. It helps our parenting and our teaching to be more impactful for our kids. So I think it's valuable.
It is value. And that is why we need each other and each other's different perspectives.
Yes.
And what they're bringing to the table, because that seeing it all as relationship and making that happen kind of by default as like your natural way, that's extroverted feeling.
Yes.
And it's good to know, you know, that's not in my stack.
Yeah.
It's not in your stack either, actually.
Yeah.
So
it's really not.
To have those people and see what they're doing. And it doesn't mean that I can't bring everyone on board. I need to see someone else doing it and recognize that as what I'm missing. And then also just realize, that's going to be difficult for me. Mm-hmm. That's not a strength that's available to me. So I'm going to have to find a way to use my strengths to work toward that, like to do that in my way.
Yes.
And know that, it's going to feel awkward for me where it feels natural for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still what I need to do.
Yeah. And it can still be inspirational. I know she's going to listen to this episode and be like, oh my gosh, because I'm trying to get her on the podcast because she's super inspiring. So I'm calling her out right now. She knows who she is. But she often worries about, like, I don't want to put things out there that people will feel like they have to live up to what she's doing or whatever, because it does come naturally for her, the way that she runs her home and she relates to her kids. But I think if we keep this kind of thing in mind with our personality types, that we can let someone who's doing things really well and really beautifully be inspirational instead of intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
And we can use our own personality to figure out how we can achieve kind of the same end goal, but through how we are more strengthened to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So through all this, you know, and coming to realize what was happening in my own homeschool mornings with my kids, to realize, okay, what I need to do in the morning is look them in the eye and smile and say good morning and maybe even give them a hug.
Yeah.
Like maybe I should actually hug my children.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, some types need to be told that, it turns out. Yeah. And I'm one of those types.
Yeah. You actually have to like intentionally decide how you're going to handle those kinds of relational moments.
Just because it doesn't come naturally
doesn't mean it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. I totally agree with that. And that is the benefit. So if you're wondering why all this even matters, those are the benefits, to help you be able to strengthen your weaknesses and use your strengths well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and too, when you know your kid's type and how that differs from your type, I know a couple different kids with, you know, totally different personalities than mine. And I think that if I didn't know all of it, if I wasn't really into this as like an impersonal system that I've appreciated and applied, I would see a lot of the things they do as discipline problems and things they were doing wrong.
Yeah.
Where it really is just different.
Yeah.
And they are bringing different gifts to the world that I don't want to squash.
Yeah. And they're so young and they're still trying to figure out how to utilize those strengths well.
Yes. Yes.
And how to figure out how to deal with I don't want to say shortcomings, but the things that aren't their natural bent.
Right. So if I know their personality type, I can help them learn to be better versions of themselves.
Yes.
Not try to make them do it my way and like try to change their personality or try to be more like, do it my way, be more like me.
Yes. Yes. That's so good. I think, okay, so if we've thoroughly convinced people that this is valuable. I, in the past, like I've said, you're my guru, and people ask me, well, how did you figure out what you were? And I had taken tests, but I would come up with different answers each time. And like we've kind of mentioned, they didn't feel like they were geared towards moms. And so what Misty finally told me to do was to actually go to her website at Simply Convivial and search Myers-Briggs and come up with this post that basically did a lot of what we did in this episode, kind of told what each type of personality preferred and did, and just kind of distilled down what the letters meant. And through doing that, that's how I really was able to see, like, okay, I favor this, I favor that, you know, this makes sense to me. And then when I read the personality type that represented, it felt like someone had been spying on me. Yeah. So that's how I knew, like, okay, that's it. And normally in the past, I've told people, like, okay, go to Simply Convivial, search this, look for that. But now you are coming out with a resource that is just going to simplify that process and help us all. So can you talk about that?
Okay. But yeah, I'm pulling it all together into a single resource to help you understand what the type means, like what it's about. This is the part I'm still working on right now, is trying to really simplify and explain the cognitive functions part of it. Mm-hmm. And then there's also going to be a resource, one page kind of cheat sheet profile for each personality type that explains your cognitive function stack. Like, it's going to say what you're good at, what you prefer, how you prefer to learn, how you prefer to act, what success feels like for each type, what stress looks like for each type. Because really, in a way, because of our similarities and differences, what feels like success to me can sometimes feel like stress to you. Mm-hmm. And that's also where, like, the conflict with my son was coming from.
Yeah.
I was feeling like I was going into success mode, which to him was stress mode.
Yeah.
And so we couldn't work together.
That's so interesting.
And then how each type can then kind of come out of stress, like support their better functions.
And as someone who's
What motivates each type?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, I've seen these sheets, just saying, guys, they're so good. And I feel like, okay, I know what I am. I kind of know what my sons are. I need to, like, boil that down. I feel like I need to print them out and, like, post them on the dining room wall. So I just have them as a constant resource. Like, okay, you're feeling this. This is your type. This is why you're making sense to me now. Mm-hmm. Because they really are. I was thinking about it even with, like, friends and different things, looking at, okay, this is how we interact. This is how I see you handle situations. It just is so interesting and helpful to know all those different things that you detail on those sheets.
Well, and a lot of the emails that I get really are about trying to figure out what type either the mom emailing me is, or maybe one of her kids, because it's so easy to mistype yourself on the online tests.
Yes.
So easy, because, you know, they're looking for certain things. They are phrasing things in ways that make sense to the person who wrote the test, but you might interpret that differently than what they meant it. And my favorite example of this was that one of my he was maybe 9 at the time, one of my sons, and he wanted to take a personality test. And I said, okay, it's not going to be right, but you can take it if you want to. And so the question was, at a party, do you usually stand near the outer edges, like near the wall, or do you prefer the center of the room? You know,
like, yeah.
So it's trying to get at extrovert or introvert, right? And we kind of see that. But he said, well, the food is usually in the middle. And he answered the middle of the room. And he's a super introvert.
That's so funny. Well, and it's like you were telling me earlier that a lot of those tests are written by T's, who we've already established can look down on us F's. So some of those.
Do you care about truth or not?
Yeah. Like, what? Wait. So it's that their personality bends end up filtering their way into the tests, which it's their bias about the other personality types. Mm-hmm. So I think that's...
And he's like, yeah, like the where you stand at a party. It's that kind of, like, what kind of experiences you've had really influence how you do that. Or it's like, I've never really noticed.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually a concrete detail that I have no idea.
Yeah. That's so interesting. That should have been an option on that question.
I don't know where I am.
Yeah. I'm too in my head.
There are walls in this room.
Yeah. That's so funny. Well, so that's why having a resource like this is just so wonderful, because it really helps kind of take away all that bias and allows you to really just distill down, okay, this is what these different traits look like, so that you can identify them.
Yes.
That's so exciting. So when is this amazing resource available, Misty?
Well, it is available.
Yay!
So
people can go get their hands on it right now.
Yes. Yes. It's at simplifiedorganization.com/personality.
Okay. And we'll have all these links in the show notes, like anything we've talked about. So you guys can just go also to boldturquoise.com/28, and we'll have the links for you to be able to find all of Misty's stuff.
And you can also use discount code BOLD to get 20% off.
Look at that, you guys. I didn't even know that was coming. So look at that. That is awesome. Thank you so much, Misty, because I know I have people asking me all the time, like, how did you figure it out? What does all of this mean? And now I can just say, here you go. This is an amazing resource by my guru who's put it all together for you.
Well, I think it's just really helpful for figuring out how to deal with life.
Yes.
Sometimes we all go through those periods where it's like, this is not working for me. And you just have no idea why it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this is a vocabulary to talk about why it's not working and to give ideas for what to do when it's like, I'm just spinning my wheels and not getting anywhere, or I just feel like laying on the couch and not caring. Like, what is going on? It's like, well, this might be what's going on.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are other options. Like, you know, it's not to say that it might not be clinical depression or some health issue or some spiritual issue. Those are possibilities.
Yes.
But it's also a possibility that, you know, you're just not working with your personality. Like, you're trying to work against your personality instead of with it. And that's a pretty easy fix once you know.
Yes.
Like, so really, this is a good go-to. Like, let's look at this first and see if it explains what's going on. Or maybe, you know, if there's just recurring conflict.
Yes.
I know, actually, when I was talking to my mother-in-law about this, and she started reading more about it and said, this totally explains my conflict with my mom.
Yeah, interesting.
And she, and you know, her mom is aging. So it just really helped her realize why her mom said what she did and not to take it personally, because it was another TF problem.
Yeah.
One person doesn't think anything is personal and the other thinks everything is personal.
Yeah.
And to just realize what's going on in those conflicts helps you diffuse it and like step back and say, okay, we can get along if we just understand how the other person is wired and what they mean.
Yeah.
What they mean when they say that isn't necessarily what I would mean if I said that same thing.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's important with our kids too, because they are still trying to learn how to deal with people, period. But if we can be the ones who understand why they're doing what they're doing, even if they don't understand why they're doing what they're doing, it helps us to have grace with them and to be able to customize our parenting to what they're needing. Because I mean, I know I definitely have the son where it's like, I totally get you. Like, you just make sense to me. The other son is like, what planet did you come from? Because you're like from Zalzaldadon, because nothing makes sense about you to me. But once I know, like, okay, that's why, at least why he's doing what he's doing, it helps me to know how to deal with him better.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, I think this has been just a super interesting and valuable conversation. Thank you so much.
It's been so fun.
For doing
I didn't even let me talk for an hour about Myers-Briggs. It was a great friend.
Right? I'm sorry. I just need to go chat with Misty. Sorry, guys. This is all just for the podcast. There was nothing, no personal learning going on. Well, I hope that everyone else is going to benefit as much from this conversation as I definitely have. And I just really appreciate you taking the time to do it.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yep. And I'm sure we will talk again at some point.
Yes.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Whew. I bet you feel smarter, don't you? That was such a fun episode. So interesting. Thanks so much to Misty Winkler for coming on and answering all my personal questions. Plus, hopefully giving you guys a little bit better handle on how this whole Myers-Briggs thing works. To be able to get all the show notes for this episode, all you have to do is hop over to boldturquoise.com/28. While you're there, you're going to want to make sure you become a subscriber, because I have been on the ball lately, ladies, and I have been getting out a weekly newsletter letting you know what things have happened the last week, what's coming up the next week, and giving you a little insight into my little life at home that not everybody hears about. So I hope that that is a fun thing for you guys. A big thank you to everyone who's been continuing to leave awesome reviews of the podcast on iTunes. We are so grateful for those. They make a big difference in getting the word out about the show. So keep leaving them. If you haven't left one yet, make sure you just hop over to iTunes and give a really quick rating and review. It just doesn't have to be more than a sentence, just saying what you think of the show. I think that's all for today, ladies. Thanks again to Jelly Telly, and I will see you again in 2 weeks when I have Trisha Goyer back on the show. All right, until then, go be bold and gracious.